after a long, dark offseason, we can finally begin to see the sunrise over the horizon. The Kansas City Chiefs are just about to play the Houston Texans and kick off the 2015 season, and if you're not optimistic today, I guess you never will be. Welcome to Roughing the Kicker on Arrowhead Addict Radio, arrowheadaddict.com. I'm your host, Joshua Briscoe, at JB Briscoe on Twitter. And today, I'm going to do a little bit of a season preview, my final preseason predictions for the Kansas City Chiefs. Then we're going to talk about the first real game of the year, Chiefs and Texans, preview some key matchups. Yeah, there was a show a couple of days ago, and yes, we're back again already. Love to keep doing two shows throughout the season. If you want to help support the show and make sure that happens, go to patreon.com/RTK. That's patreon.com/RTK. Help support the show, and we'll be doing this twice a week through the whole season. And if you can't throw a little bit of money this way, tell your friends, tell the Chiefs Kingdom, because we are ready to go. This isn't really a proper preseason preview show, so I'm not going to go unbelievably deep into like 10 bold predictions or anything, but I do want to give you all my final before the first game thoughts on where I think the Chiefs go this year. First of all, let's just start with the record. I've gone through the schedule several times, and the record I have for the Chiefs right now is not going to blow anyone's socks off, but I don't think it's an indictment on the Chiefs. I think it's a look at how difficult the schedule is, especially at the beginning. I think right now, if I had to throw out a number, I think the Chiefs go 9-7. And I could pretty easily build a case for that going two wins in either direction. Any more than that, I would be making up a fake argument for, I think. I could certainly see this team going 10-6 if the defense bounces back like we think it will. My concern isn't really with the Chiefs underperforming in places we expect them to be good. I just think in a lot of cases, team like when going to play at the Bengals, if they were coming to Arrowhead, I think I would be taking the Chiefs to win that game. But going to Cincinnati, they get the edge. It's just winning on the road in the NFL is a very difficult thing, which we'll talk about here with the Texans game coming up in just a few minutes. Winning on the road in the NFL is very hard, and the Chiefs have a lot of tough tests, and a lot of their home tests are also no cakewalk. So right now, the number I'd throw out for the Chiefs is 9-7. I don't feel unbelievably passionately on either end of that, and I do think they're a playoff team. I think they end up being a playoff team. My concern, though, is just that they end up having the AFC West. The matchups across the board create a very difficult schedule for the AFC West. And my concern is that that's the reason only one team would make it into the playoffs from there, because if the Chiefs go 9-7, the Broncos go 10-6, we might be looking at the Chiefs missing the playoffs by a game again. I think this team is certainly talented and well-coached enough to be considered a playoff-caliber team. And the NFL is so unpredictable that a team like the Bengals, where I say, going to Cincinnati in week 4, it's probably going to be really difficult. But teams like that all the time either fall off a cliff, or maybe you end up seeing a team like the Bills, who the Chiefs play every year. Suddenly, Tyrod Taylor throws 4 touchdowns and the Bills explode. Stuff like that happens in the NFL every year. So getting too attached to a preseason prediction, I think, is kind of silly. But right now, I put the number at 9 with a definite amount of wiggle room. Probably, I would set the line for the Chiefs at 9.5. So 9-7 is where I'm at right now. And another fun preseason game here, Sam Mellinger of the Kansas City Star put together an over-under, a group of over-unders for the Chiefs. I'm going to go through those and give my pick on all of them. For wins, he has the over-under at 9.5. I'm taking the under, but barely. I think that's the right line. Playoff games, I'm assuming this is games appeared in, over-under 1.5. I feel like somebody's going to get mad at this, but I'm going to take the under. I haven't seen the Chiefs win a playoff game in my lifetime. I can't predict that happening, especially because I think the schedule is so difficult. There's so many ways to get to appear in 1 or 0 playoff games, and it's so difficult to get into the playoffs in the NFL and win a game. I'm going to take the under, but again, that one wouldn't surprise me at all, and I would be absolutely thrilled. Please don't get me wrong there. Alex Smith touchdown passes. The over-under at 23.5. In 2013, Smith threw for 23 touchdowns. Last year, he threw for 18, obviously, with none to a wide receiver. His weapons this year are so much better. It's an extra year of experience for Travis Kelce, Albert Wilson. You bring in Chris Conley. You wonder what D'Anthony Thomas will do, but obviously, Jeremy Maclin is the huge part here, and he's going to be hitting Jamaal Charles out of the backfield. But 2013, with the 23 touchdowns, was his career high. This might be his best set of offensive weapons this year. And I think the Chiefs are going to throw it enough to where we start to wonder if Andy Reid is insane for not handing the ball to Jamaal Charles more. I'm going to take the over with a ton of reservation. If it was at something like 22, I would feel a whole lot better about it to have him match his first year with three. But I'm going to say over. I think Alex Smith throws for 24 touchdowns this year. Sacks given up. The over-under is 40.5. I'm taking the under because I don't want to think about what happens if it's over. If the Chiefs give up more than 40 sacks this year, nothing matters. Nothing matters. Back in 2014, last season, the Chiefs gave up 49 sacks. And really quickly, from 41 being the fewest and 71 being the most, here are the teams who gave up more than 40 sacks last year. Chicago, Carolina, Seattle, Detroit, Miami, that's up to 46 sacks. And then at 47, Jets, St. Louis, Kansas City, Tennessee, Minnesota, Tampa Bay, San Francisco, Washington, Jacksonville. Now, obviously, the Seahawks did just fine last year. But for the most part, most of those teams who gave up more than 40 sacks, the vast majority, and certainly all of them that gave up more than 45, were a disaster. For more than 46 last year, were a disaster on offense. With Ben Grubbs, you bring in Mitch Morse, you're reshuffling Donald Stevenson to left tackle, Eric Fisher to right tackle, LDT playing right guard, maybe bringing Jeff Allen back at right guard at some point, I don't know. It doesn't matter. If the Chiefs don't get 10 sacks better from last year, it's just not going to matter. Last year, if the Chiefs were 10 sacks better, they would have been in the playoffs. So I'll take the under on 40.5 sacks because I honestly don't want to think about the alternative. Alex Smith will die. Justin Houston sacks, over under 13.5. I'm going to take the over. We know he just got his huge contract. You know you always like guys playing in contract years and everything. I just think Justin Houston is really, really good, and he's always going to have Tom Bahaly or Dee Ford on the other side of him, and the teams are going to have to pass more this year, and the coverage is going to be really great this year. Teams are going to have to pass more because the run defense is better. I'll take over 13.5 sacks for Justin Houston. Dontari Poe snaps. This is really interesting, and this changes a lot based on some recent news I haven't talked about yet that I'll just say now. Dontari Poe has practiced the last 2 days. I'm recording this early on Friday morning. Dontari Poe practiced Wednesday and Thursday. So it makes me think that Dontari Poe will put over 700 snaps. I would have said under as of a week ago, but I'm going to take the over now. I think Dontari Poe is going to get quite a few snaps. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he got hurt again, and I think he should be taking less snaps, but if he's back and actually healthy, he's gonna get fed these snaps. 700 is a ton. He's led defensive tackles the last two seasons, if memory serves. It scares me, and I have no confidence in this, but I'll say he ends up playing over 700 snaps this year. I think it's good news for the Chiefs if that comes true. Here's one that I feel really good about. Derek Johnson tackles. Mellinger puts the over-under at 95, which makes sense because in 2013, the year before, obviously he missed all of last season. 2013, he had 95 tackles. 2012, he had 110. Before that, 104. Before that, 95. I'll take the over on Derek Johnson's tackles. I think he ends up with a 100-tackle season. Based on what we saw of him in the preseason, he's certainly declining. And he's in the second half of his career, no question. And there's nothing wrong with that. He's had a fantastic career. He's just going to the other end of it right now. But I think he ends up with 100 tackles this year, or at least over 95, because he looked really good in the preseason, really quick. He, in a way, had last year off. Obviously, there's a ton of rehabbing to do. But he didn't play more than that first game last year. I think he's going to be awfully good. This is the one that I hope is mostly snarky, and if not, is also really sad. Cairo Santos missed extra points. He missed one in the preseason, and the over-under is 3.5. I will take the under. I think Cairo Santos does not miss more than 3 extra points. Now, if you didn't know, the extra point has been moved back for this year. The NFL wants more tension on extra points, wants trying to get teams to go for 2 more often, and then Santos missed one in the preseason. I'm not worried about it going into the actual year. Come back in Week 8 if he's missed a couple, and I'll start to panic with you then. 2-point conversion attempts on the season, over under 5.5. I would like to believe that Andy Reid would take a shot at this more often, but I, as I just said, I don't think the extra points, I don't think the extra point moving back affects it too much, although they're going to go for a few 2-point conversions anyway. I would like to see this go over, but I have a gut feeling that Reid will continue to take the extra points more often than not by a wide margin. I'll say 5 or fewer 2-point conversions for the Chiefs. Dustin Colquitt yards per punt is 40.5. I'll take the under because field position is so important, but I don't have any great metric on that one. Sorry. Touchdown catches by wide receivers. Comparing this to last year, which, in case you missed it, the Chiefs had zero touchdowns wide receivers. I don't know if anyone has ever talked about that, really. It's a huge jump. The over-under is 9.5. But if I think Alex Smith is going to throw for 24 touchdowns, they're going to have 10 of them to wide receivers. I'm going to take the over. I think Albert Wilson will catch a pair, and Jeremy Maclin will catch at least 6 or so. Maybe throw a couple here or there. Albert Wilson gets some more. Maybe Maclin gets 10 on his own. I like Jeremy Maclin a lot this year. I'll take the over on 10 touchdowns to wide receivers this year. Travis Kelce receptions. The over-under is at 70. I'm going to take the pessimistic side on this, but I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. Back in 2014, last season, Travis Kelce got 67 targets and 67 receptions. So this is no big jump. This is just 3 more catches than last year. I think Travis Kelce is going to play a bigger part on this team this year, but I don't think he's necessarily going to catch more passes. If I had to throw that out there right now, I think he might end up with more than 5 touchdowns this year, and I think he might end up with more yards, but I'm not totally betting on just more receptions. I think Jeremy Maclin is going to be a receptions machine this year. I'm going to take the under on Travis Kelce's receptions at 70, but I don't feel bad about that at all. I love Travis Kelce this year. Jeremy Maclin receiving yards, the over-under is 950. Last year, with the Philadelphia Eagles, obviously, Jeremy Maclin had 1,300 yards. The year before that, he was injured. The year before that, 850 again before that. I'm going to go ahead and take the over. I think Jeremy Maclin is going to get absolutely fed this year, including just with yardage. I think we're going to see Jeremy Maclin be a 1,000-yard receiver this year. Jamaal Charles total yards from scrimmage. The over-under is 1,300. I feel like it would be foolish to take the under on this as well. Jeremy Maclin, Jamaal Charles are the two players on this offense where I think they're going to have just enormous numbers by the end of the year. If not, that might not be a good thing if teams can then focus in on just two players. That's why the number two receiver is so important. But I think Jamaal Charles ends up with something like 1,500 total yards from scrimmage. DeAnthony Thomas, touchdowns, over under 4.5. I'm going to take the under. I'd like to see him get more playing time. He'll probably have one or two kickoff or punt return, maybe an offensive touchdown. I'm going to say he ends up with something like 4 touchdowns, though. I'll take the under on the 4.5. And then one little prop bet that I sort of dug into on my own, apart from this Mellinger story, and if you want to see that, it's on KansasCity.com. You can join his game with the over-unders. I think Jeremy Maclin... This isn't an overly bold prediction, but it's a kind of bold prediction that I'm going to go ahead and go for here. I think Jeremy Maclin ends the season as a top 10 receiver, a top 10 wide receiver in receptions this year. I think he won't be as explosive, won't have as good of a yards per catch rate as he did with Philadelphia, but I think he's going to catch a huge number of passes. Last year, he had 85 receptions on 143 targets. I don't see that dropping at all. I think he's going to be top 10 in receptions among wide receivers this year. Now, back to the season as a whole, before we get into the Texans preview, I think the Chiefs go 9-7. If I had to put a number on it, 9-7, make the playoffs, lose in the first round, that's just what I'm used to, but have a fantastic season from Jamaal Charles, Jeremy Maclin, Travis Kelce continues his rise to fame. I think Alex Smith looks pretty good, but I think the offensive line ultimately... still too shaky to be a division winner, although I love this defense. And as we go through the year, I think, unless something disastrous happens, like with the Tennessee game last year, I think you're going to continue to hear me get more and more optimistic about where the Chiefs end up this year. So don't hear me saying, 9-7, this team's going to be a disappointment and a failure. I just think the schedule is really difficult. I think this is a playoff-caliber team, and it wouldn't surprise me one bit for them to go 10-6. There's some 11-5 potential, and I think they could make... I hate to say a playoff run, but I think they can definitely win a playoff game, and then we see what happens the next week. So, as you continue to listen to the show throughout the season, listen to me on a week-to-week basis. I'm going to feel strongly about those predictions, but this one at the beginning, kind of just throwing a number on the front of it, so I have an expectation for this season. We can see the Chiefs exceed it or fall short of it. And either way, I'm sure somebody will be mad at me. And that's okay, as long as you tweet it to me at JB Briscoe. Listen, you follow me, you can be as mad at me as you want. Game time. noon on September 13th, this Sunday, Kansas City Chiefs at Houston Texans. It's a real game that matters, and I feel kind of good about it. But I'm apparently not with a unanimous crowd. Chiefs going to Houston to take on the 0-0 Texans, the 0-0 Chiefs taking on the 0-0 Texans, because it's the first game, according to my research. There are some matchups on either side of the ball here that worry me and that make me feel awfully good about the Chiefs' chances. Let's start with the Chiefs' defense matching up with the Texans' offense. The biggest news in the last couple of days for the Texans' offense is that left tackle Dwayne Brown is listed as probable for this game. His status was in question. So he'll be there, as far as we know. But for the Chiefs' defense, Dontari Poe apparently might be there. On the depth chart, as of September 10th, he was listed as probable. Eric Fisher, Travis Kelce, Jason Devant, D'Anthony Thomas, Demetrius Harris, Albert Wilson, all listed as probable or questionable. And even Jeff Allen has been practicing. He's not listed here on the injury report I'm looking at, but it sounds like there's a chance that he will play, although he will not get the start, according to Andy Reid, whenever he named the offensive line as Stevenson, Grubbs, Morse, LDT, Fisher from left to right. But back to the defensive side of the ball, let's remember what we looked at by the end of last year, and then we'll take a look at what the Houston Texans have right now. Early in the preseason, looking at this game, this felt like a game where Arian Foster might get on the field and just slash the Chiefs for an hour, and then the Chiefs leave Houston with not an embarrassing loss, but a loss that could really derail their season a little bit, because this is a team that you need to beat. Obviously, this isn't a quote-unquote must-win game, but this is a game where you can really establish yourself if you start week one with a win on the road. But it felt like Arian Foster might show up and just slash through this run defense, because last year, that's the thing that did this defense in. The run defense was just never good enough. We saw it become the problem for this team over and over. The pass defense looked great, although in some cases the pass defense looked great because teams didn't have to pass, because all you had to do was hand the two whoever was behind the quarterback, he would run up the middle, and even with Dontari Poe there, the inside linebackers could not stop the run. So the Chiefs aggressively went after that in the draft, drafting DJ Alexander and Ramiq Wilson. Desmond Moses is back on the team. He was released last week, but the Chiefs actually, let's go ahead and touch on this really quickly. The Chiefs put Paul Fenneika on injured reserve, which nobody saw coming. I don't know if anyone knew he was injured. That was an extremely strange move out of nowhere. So whenever they put Fenneika, the guard, on injured reserve, they brought back Desmond Moses. He's an outside linebacker, but I digress. I'm just looking at the linebacker depth chart right now. Ramiq Wilson, DJ Alexander, the draft picks. Josh Malga, looking like he'll probably get the start beside Derek Johnson. The inside linebackers for the Chiefs are in really, really solid shape right now. And Ramiq Wilson was a monster during the preseason. DJ Alexander is a little more raw, it seems like, but he certainly has his potential. I think Derek Johnson's going to have 100 tackles this year. And Josh Malga got a contract extension. I think he's pretty good. Not top tier, but I think he's a good inside linebacker. I think the Chiefs' run defense takes an enormous step forward this year, especially if Dontari Poe can get back in the middle. And then even both of the defensive ends, Alan Bailey, and on the other side, the return of Mike DeVito, I just think this run defense was crushed by injuries at the top last year, and the depth just wasn't good enough then. But that's not going to be the problem this year. There's plenty of depth. And, I mean, we saw that with the fact the Chiefs cut James Michael Johnson, who started, I believe, 8 or 9 games for the team last year. Started 8 or 9 games. He couldn't get on the roster for this team this year. I think the Chiefs' run defense is going to do a much better job as of week one and throughout this season. I think the people who are discounting the Chiefs, and again, I know I said 9-7, and that might sound like discounting them. I'm certainly not trying to. I think the people who are discounting the Chiefs are looking at the run defense last year and not seeing how much better it's going to be. Plus, the bringing in Tyvon Branch, Eric Berry's return, Hussein Abdullah has played pretty well against the run. Even Ron Parker occasionally will get up the field, although he's not a very good tackler. That secondary depth will help with the run. We've seen Eric Berry play like a deep linebacker for most of his career so far. I think the run defense takes a huge step forward. I think people are missing that. When they're evaluating the Chiefs, I don't think that the changes in the run defense are getting enough credit. So, if Arian Foster was playing, it'd be a tough matchup to start off with. But Arian Foster's not playing. The Texans, on the running game, are going to be relying on Alfred Blue, who we saw him play some last year whenever Foster was hurt here and there. Foster's hurt now, and if you didn't know. And he's not a bad running back. I think he's probably one of the better backups in the league, but he is not a number one guy. And then you start to give Jonathan Grimes and Chris Polk some action in Foster's absence. That's their other three guys, other two guys on the depth chart behind Alfred Blue. I'm not scared of any of those guys. Sorry, I'm just not. And even the player I'm less scared of. So I think the Chiefs have a slight advantage in the run game there. We might not say that very often this year, but I think they have a slight advantage here. But the player that I am really not afraid of is Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer, yeah, the one from Cleveland, is the Texans starting quarterback. I'm not fear-stricken right now. I'm sorry to the Texans fans who think Brian Hoyer might be good. Brian Hoyer is not good. Now, he has one weapon with him right now, DeAndre Hopkins, who I think is going to cause the Chiefs some big problems. But Brian Hoyer's got to be the one to get the ball to DeAndre Hopkins, and that would scare me if I was a Texans fan. Now, what I'm envisioning with DeAndre Hopkins is a, like, 7 reception for 100 yards and a touchdown kind of game. So I think he's really good, and that would be bad for the Chiefs, but I'm not horribly concerned because I think the rest of their offense is just going to be anemic. And I'll explain that in a second, too. But with no Sean Smith, I think there is a reason to be worried about the corner position matching up against DeAndre Hopkins, because DeAndre Hopkins is a rising, very good wide receiver. And the Chiefs are going to have a rookie win his first game, Marcus Peters, trying to stop that. I like Marcus Peters. I think he's going to have a really good career. I think he'll have an okay game. I think he's going to have a nice season. With DeAndre Hopkins here, he can run with DeAndre Hopkins. He can stick around with DeAndre Hopkins as well as anybody. But I think there's one specific thing I see playing out in my head that was confirmed. I was chatting with Chris from Texas Sports Review, a member of the Houston media, I think I could call him. And he said the thing that he sees DeAndre Hopkins really exploiting Peters with is his route running. And that's exactly how I was thinking this was going to play out anyway. So to have that confirmed by him was great. What the play I see happening is at some point, DeAndre Hopkins is just running Peters like crazy. Physical receiver, physical cornerback, physical matchup there. And then eventually, Hopkins runs a really clean route. And in one time, maybe, he breaks Peters in half and just gets wide open, ends up taking one to the house. And more consistently, I think Hopkins is going to have such sharp routes that even Brian Hoyer is going to be able to hit him. He'll be so open a couple of times. Not necessarily in big plays, because I don't think Marcus Peters is going to get burnt badly more than maybe once. Or I would say, I guess I would go so far as to say that Peters will probably get burnt badly twice, but I don't think Hoyer will hit Hopkins twice. I think maybe one of those times he'll pull the trigger. But I think Hopkins will use his physical presence, sharp route running, to continually pick up small chunks of yards and occasionally larger chunks of yards against Peters, against the secondary. But I feel good about the secondary, and more importantly, I feel great about the pass rush. Even if Hopkins were to beat Peters badly 3 or 4 or 5 times and just get open enough 10 times in this game, it's not going to matter half of the time, because Brian Hoyer is not a good quarterback. And more importantly, Brian Hoyer is going to have all sorts of garbage in his face. Tom Bahali, Justin Houston, even Dee Ford are all going to make their presences felt in this game. I feel strongly about that. I think Hoyer is going to have a long day, because I think he's going to be absolutely constantly challenged by this pass rush and Bob Sutton. So they have one weapon that I'm afraid of, which is Hopkins. I don't care for their quarterback. Their next receiver is Cecil Shorts, Nate Washington. They drafted Jalen Strong, which is interesting, but I haven't heard much preseason hype about him yet. He might be a surprise showing in this game where he flexes his muscles a little bit. But I feel fine about Philip Gaines matching up with Cecil Shorts, and Jamel Fleming and Steven Nelson will get plenty of playing time in this game because they're going to have to. Same goes for Marcus Cooper. He'll probably get on the field plenty of times. And I don't love any of that because Steven Nelson hasn't shown a whole lot of his flashes during the preseason. Jamel Fleming is okay. Marcus Cooper is okay. Not doing backflips for that. I'll be very happy when Sean Smith returns. But at the top of the Chiefs corners, I'll take matching up against the top of the Texans receivers, especially with Chiefs pass rush playing into account. I feel awfully good about the Chiefs defense matching up against the Texans offense. Now let's get to the complicated side. Chiefs offense, Texans defense, because there are just a lot of unknowns here. Let's start with the Chiefs offense, I suppose. If you haven't heard, the quarterback's name is Alex Smith. Everybody loves him. There's no other opinions on Alex Smith. He's basically Aaron Rodgers, just in the Chiefs uniform. I like Alex Smith this year. I think he's going, as I talked about previously, I think he's going to have a very nice season. He's got some real weapons here. And in this game specifically, I think Jeremy Maclin is going to probably get the first play of the game targeted his way. I think they'll probably shoot deep for Maclin right out of the gate because the Chiefs seem to like to do that. But I think Macklin's going to have a substantial handful of targets. And I think Albert Wilson will be around. I wouldn't be at all surprised, though, to see Chris Conley be the surprise out of this game. I don't think he'll be the star of this game by any means. I don't think he'll be the star of maybe any game this whole season. But that's the one guy who we've seen the Chiefs working and pushing so hard to get Chris Conley up to speed after being injured through training camp in those last few preseason games. He was just on the field constantly. So I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Chris Conley get a little more work than most people would expect. But Jeremy Maclin is the key here. Jamal Charles is obviously going to be hugely important, as will be Travis Kelce. Now, let's talk about the offensive line, though, because on the other side of the ball, the Houston Texans' biggest strength is certainly their pass rush surrounding J.J. Watt. And then in the middle is Vince Wilfork, and then on the other side, we're going to finally see Jadeveon Clowney. Now, Clowney's listed as an outside linebacker in a lot of places now, so I don't know exactly how they're going to be scheming with him. Clowney obviously missed most of last season with an injury. But to line up J.J. Watt on Eric Fisher on the right side, and then Jadeveon Clowney across from him trying to get past Donald Stevenson, with Vince Wilfork in the middle pushing through Mitch Morse, the rookie in his first NFL game, it's going to be a challenge for every one of those guys. I would prefer Fisher on Watt and Stevenson on Clowney, which I think probably played a small role at least into what Andy Reid did with the offensive line shakeup. Fisher's a more powerful player. J.J. Watt is a very powerful man. I'd say Donald Stevenson probably has the quicker feet. I've heard him called the more finesse player between him and Eric Fisher. I think that plays up pretty well against Jadeveon Clowney. Clowney's obviously got a ton of power, but his speed, his ability to get to the edge is going to be the biggest challenge in his game. And I think Stevenson matches up better with that than Eric Fisher would have. So the tackles, while I think in both cases the Texans have the advantage, I prefer that to if Fisher and Stevenson were flipped for this game. In the middle, the Texans find the advantage again, in the middle of the defensive line, because Vince Wilfork is a longtime NFL beast in the middle of a defense, and Mitch Morse is just getting his feet wet in this game. I'm concerned about Mitch Morse. He looked pretty good in the preseason. Andy Reid and John Dorsey trusted him enough to outright cut Eric Kush in the preseason. It's Mitch Morse's job, and solely Mitch Morse's job. I just think he's going to have a really big challenge on his hands with Vince Wilfork. And then the two guards on either side, LDT getting his first NFL start and Ben Grubbs getting his first start with the Kansas City Chiefs. There's a lot of uncertainty there. If the Chiefs lose this game, I think it's going to be because the Texans' defensive line makes the Chiefs' offensive line just look like garbage. Alex Smith won't be able to get off of his back. Ultimately, I think the offensive line will hold up just well enough. I think two huge factors, as I mentioned, the three big names isn't going to shock anybody, but I think Travis Kelce in the short game is going to be important. The deep threat of Jeremy Maclin will be relevant, but I think even in this game with the pass rush that we're expecting, I think Jeremy Macklin's short and mid-range game is going to be hugely important, and Jamal Charles is going to have to establish the run early, because as good as J.J. Watt is as a pass rusher, please don't hear me saying J.J. Watt is a bad run defender, but he's not as good of a run defender. I believe there were times last year when teams even would run at J.J. Watt because it wouldn't give him a chance to chase down the play. I think that's a testament to how dominant he is more than how poor he is as a run defender, because he's not a poor run defender. But the same also goes for Clowney. Those guys are pass rushers and also all-around football players, but their key is their ability to rush the passer. So if Charles can get away from Mitch Morse and Vince Wilfork, that matchup, where I think Vince Wilfork is going to win that matchup more often than not, if Charles can be able to have some effectiveness either splitting the guard and tackle or running outside of the tackle in this game, I think the Chiefs offense will get into a little bit of a rhythm. Hopefully the defensive line will have to at least respect the run game. Andy Reid has to go to it early. And then that might buy Alex Smith the extra half second that he needs to be able to find Jeremy Maclin 12 yards down the field on a crossing route, where then he can take it, cut it up, and actually make a big play, which the Chiefs certainly need more of this year. So overall, if the Chiefs lose this game, it's going to be because of the offensive line matched up against J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney, Vince Wilfork, and whoever else they throw at this really inexperienced offensive line. And inexperienced not just that they're all young guys, because Ben Grubbs is a veteran, but this inexperienced offensive line together. That's my biggest fear in this game. Beyond a doubt, The special teams, this is based on so little, but I heard at some point the Houston special teams are leave something to be desired, I suppose. And a Dave Taub special teams unit is always going to exploit the weaknesses of another team. So maybe we see D'Anthony Thomas, if he comes back looking healthy and good, maybe we see him bust up a play, and if not score, at least consistently give the Chiefs good field position. Field position will be huge in this game as well. As I mean, these are cliches saying field position and turnovers are huge, but the Texans have that ability. J.J. Swat is his nickname for a reason. He knocks down passes or tips up passes all the time. If the Chiefs can constantly start farther down the field than the Texans ever get a chance to, it's less ground to pick up against this defense, which is a horrifying thing. Alex Smith has to have been watching Texans tape for the last 3 months, or whenever the schedule came out, which I guess was less than 3 months ago. I'm horrified about the offensive line matching up here. But ultimately, I think the Chiefs do take this game. It is so hard to win on the road in the NFL. Most places I've seen have had the Texans favored by 1 point. So difficult to win on the road against a good team and a great defense, a really top-notch defense. But Brian Hoyer and Alfred Blue don't scare me. DeAndre Hopkins does a little bit, but I think Marcus Peters is going to do his job well enough, and the rest of that Texans offense won't be able to hold up. I'm going to say the Chiefs win in an ugly game, but an ugly game with a good result, so it'll feel good in the morning. I'm going to say 20-17, touchdown for Jeremy Maclin, touchdown for Jamaal Charles, and the Texans touchdowns, maybe Alfred Blue gets one on a run, and DeAndre Hopkins gets the other. I am a little worried on more than just a this game specific level, because if the Chiefs drop this game, the next week, Thursday, hopefully they're not looking ahead, but it's only 4 days rest for the Chiefs. So the next episode of this show will probably be a combo recap of this game, preview of the Broncos game. If the Chiefs are looking ahead, they get caught off guard, then maybe they can't hold up against the Broncos at home. Then they're traveling to Green Bay, to Cincinnati. That's a really, really rough start if the Chiefs end up stumbling in this game. So, but on the other hand, if they start off hot here, then you go Broncos at home. You feel like you have an okay chance to pull that one off if you beat the Texans on the road. Then you lose at the Packers, at the Bengals, not at the end of the road. And then you come back at home to get Jay Cutler and the Bears, a very winnable game. This is a schedule where the Chiefs could start 0-4, or they could start 2-2, maybe 3-1 if you think they can get a real shot at the Bengals. But if they fall flat against the Texans, it's gonna be awfully deflating. No pun intended with the Patriots. It'd be an awfully deflating way to start the year, because the rest of this first quarter of the season is going to be so tough. This is a team that the Chiefs should beat, can beat. If it was in Kansas City, I think the Chiefs would be favored by probably on 4.5 points. I think you can draw some comparisons to what happened last year with the Chiefs. You start off with a loss at home to the Titans, then you lose in Denver, then you win out of nowhere in Miami, and then at home against the Patriots, who went on to win the Super Bowl, in case you forgot that one. Then you lose in San Francisco, a couple wins after that. That team never found an identity. I never trusted last year's team. I never particularly liked last year's team because of how up and down they were. I mean, they beat the Patriots and the Seahawks, but they lost to the Titans and the Raiders. You cannot be a top-tier team and then have losses like that. And what scares me more for this year is finding a rebound after losing week one will be just as hard this year as it was last year. The Chiefs did it again, like I said, with the Dolphins and Patriots wins in week 3 and 4, but those would both be equally large upsets this time around. So I think this win against the Texans, if it happens, is going to be very important and something the Chiefs, they cannot look past this game to the Broncos. That will be here soon enough. It obviously partially depends on how the game actually plays out, but if the Chiefs lose to the Texans, which I don't think they will, I objectively think they will win, but if they fall to Houston, even though it's on the road, winning on the road in the NFL is so difficult, but I would be disappointed and I would instantly become pretty concerned about the outlook of the Chiefs 2015 season. But I think they are going to win in Houston. I think they're going to be able to. I think the offensive line will do just enough. I think the rest of the offense will look pretty good. I think the Chiefs defense will shut down Houston. They might not get 2 touchdowns, and if that's the case, it almost doesn't matter. Of course, if J.J. Watt ends up with a defensive touchdown, strip sack Alex Smith, something like that, I'm going to be in here this next episode, and you're going to hear weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's going to do it for this week one preview show. This is Roughing the Kicker on Arrowhead Addict Radio, arrowheadaddict.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes. Usually the show comes out first on iTunes before it ever gets up on Arrowhead Addict. So go to iTunes or whatever you use to subscribe to podcasts. Search for Roughing the Kicker. Subscribe to this. Never miss another episode. If you want to help support the show, tell your friends, tweet about it. You can follow me on Twitter at JB Briscoe. I'm Joshua Briscoe. Support the show at patreon.com/RTK. Let's make sure we can keep doing this twice a week for the rest of the season. And you can see my goals and what I hope to be able to do on that site, patreon.com/RTK. As I said, I'm Joshua Briscoe. Thank you for listening. I think the Chiefs are going to start 1-0, but I'm pretty nervous about it. Not sure when I'll be back next. Hopefully to recap this game, preview Thursday Night Football, subscribe on iTunes, make sure you get it as soon as it comes out. I'm ready for real football to start, guys. Bye, Mom!
Excuse me, sir, but could you drop the bass?